This is Steve the Don Donadio, and you are listening to Everyone Needs a Spotter.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another exciting episode of Everyone Needs a Spotter, the multifamily fitness podcast brought to you by the team here at RMS Fitness. You know my voice by now, but I am proud to say that I am the host, Steve Heitzer, joined today by two out of my three usual companions. Robert, fearless leader Decker, got pulled away to necessary business, but I'm happy to say that I am here immediately to my right, Stephen D. What it be, my man?
What's going on, Steve-o? It's a different crowd here, a little bit of an imbalance, but we'll see if we can balance the scales here with our special guest.
We're going to balance the scales of justice here in just a moment, but you let the cat out of the bag. He always does that. Emily, little wipey vinos to his right. How you doing?
Steven out the bag of Dio.
Steve, the cat was never in the bag of Dio to begin with. How you doing, Em?
Hey, what's up?
Not much. Glad to be here with you. I was going to kind of flirt around with it a little bit, but since Steven already kind of went ahead and let the mystery out a little bit, we are joined today by a special guest. Since Robert couldn't make it, we had an impromptu opportunity to invite a special guest on, so we're proud to welcome for the first time a guest onto the Everyone Needs a Spotter podcast. This is our senior fitness service technician, Daniel Rogers. Happy to welcome you to the podcast, sir. How are you doing on this fine Friday?
Well, happy Friday. I'm doing all right. Apparently, I'm here to balance the scales, as it were. But I'm doing well. How are you doing, Steve?
Doing good, man. Thank you for being available here today to be part of the show. I'm sure that your insights as a technician on the road daily dealing with our clients is going to be a nice addition to what we talk about here today for sure. But as always, before we get into that, we want to talk about the weekend review, right? So, Emily, anything new or exciting this week to discuss on your side of town?
Honestly, no.
I was with you for one exciting thing, so you can't say we didn't do anything fun or unusual this week.
Oh, yeah. We did get to go on a field trip. So a couple weeks ago, Robert and his son Logan and myself, we went to the Dover Expo and met up with some people there. And so this week we were able to make some appointments and go face-to-face and walk their fitness center. So that was really cool to be able to touch base with those people, and hopefully we'll be able to work with them soon.
Yeah, awesome. That was a fun trip, to go out there and be on the road. We had almost all the members of the sales team. Dan does help the sales team, but he wasn't with us for our field trip. But we had everybody else out there with us, and it was nice to just be together. It was a nice weather day. We got to talk about some of the new things that we've been experiencing that our partners are bringing out, and had a chance to kind of just connect in a way that haven't had a lot of opportunities to because of how busy we've been the last few weeks. So that was really nice. And, we go to those trade shows. That's kind of a new thing for us, setting up booths at trade shows this year. So every time we go and we get opportunities to then follow that up with real opportunities that come from those shows, it's always really nice and helps us to feel like all that effort is definitely worthwhile. So I know I enjoyed that. Steven, anything in your side of the world exciting this week? Any installs of note? Any activities of record that you'd like to share?
I just had a... It's been a busy installation week. I know Robert's been on a couple, and I've been trying to catch up on, some repair quotes, sale quotes, and taking in some deliveries that have been coming to our warehouse. But it was nice to see some of my sales go through and the installation go pretty smooth, and our customers happy, and then wanting them tagged in social media. And I thought that's pretty cool. It's really nice to have an engagement between us, between the customer, and then between their customers as well. So it's kind of like a 360 view of how things should be to generate buzz when it comes to new equipment installations. So, yeah, it was a pretty good week, pretty busy week, and next week seems to be the same scenario as well. So, all good things.
Absolutely. I was thinking the same thing. As I look out to the future, I don't see any not busy times in the near future at this point. You know, we seem to have lots of things lined up. And, you know, I thought it was nice, too, to your point. You know, there were some nice installations this week. I know Caleb from our team, one of the sales team members here, had an opportunity to complete an installation. Probably like one of his first, like, full gym projects that he undertook kind of as the point guy. So he was able to help the team over at Mad Woman Fitness get their space opened up. And they've been collaborating on social media a little bit to kind of get that excitement out there. So it's been really cool. It's been an exciting week in general for RMS Fitness as far on Everyone Needs a Spotter news. This has actually been our busiest and most exciting week for the podcast to date. For some reason, it seemed to have found its stride here in the past few days, and people have really been downloading the content a lot, spending some time really listening to it. I've gotten some really nice emails and messages with feedback. So to everyone that is maybe new to the show, has picked it up recently, we appreciate you. And please don't forget to email us at podcast@rmsfitness.com if you have any questions or subjects you'd like to hear us discuss. I thought it would be cool here in the coming weeks maybe to start doing like listener questions or letters live. So if you have something that you think you might like to hear and it's not a super long question or answer, I might just put Steven or Emily or Robert or whoever else is here on the spot and see what kind of answers they come up with. But for this week, you know, we're kind of into getting into, you know, May here, moving into summertime here in the East Coast. We're kind of into what I like to call fix-it season. You know, at this point,
yep,
a lot of people have exhausted their budgets for new equipment that they had for the year, and they've already kind of put those things into motion. So now if things in the gym go down, a lot of times between now and the new year, they're kind of in the process of, okay, now we have to repair this equipment and keep it going, and then maybe next year we can plan to replace it. So I call it fix-it season because you get a lot of service calls this time of year.
That's true. Yeah, we do.
People looking for repairs on broken equipment and things like that. So I thought it would be nice to talk about just, you know, that process in general. You know, a lot of people, you know, when they request a service call, that can mean different things to different people, for sure. So Emily, I'm sure you've gotten some of these emails along the way. Have you ever gotten a really detailed service call request that had lots of information that really explained the problem thoroughly? Have you ever gotten one of those?
Not totally. Actually, not really at all.
It's a little bit of a trick question. I'm glad you answered it the way I thought you were going to.
So I would say, because one thing came in my mind this week, you know, before our maintenance services, we do like a courtesy email, just, and not to take off subject, but
take it off. That's what we do here.
Courtesy email sent out, and we asked, like, hey, you know, we're about to come out. Is there anything that you would like to report about your fitness center? Is there anything that you need, like gym wipes, things like that? So I got an email back, and it was like five things listed, but it doesn't like specify what machine. It's like this pedal fell off on this, and it's just not very detailed. And I was like, okay, thank you for that.
Because the technicians will probably have an easier time figuring it out with mm-hmm. no information at that point than weird scattered information. So I asked that question the way I did because I had a feeling you were going to make a comment along those lines that, you know, it's not common that we get really like a robust and fully complete request for service. You know, a lot of times, and we know what it is. I mean, the site teams that we deal with are super busy, and there's tons of different levels of understanding and education on the sites as far as like what people even understand about the fitness center that they work in. So Steven, on the contrary to what Emily was just talking about, what is kind of the nature of the service requests that we typically get actually? How do they normally come across?
Yeah, that's a great question. Normally, so sometimes we'll get the request, hey, we need someone out here. There's a machine down. Can you send someone out ASAP? And that's normally the email we get. And unfortunately, you know, we'll try to reply back and be like, you know, can we get some more information? Maybe we can help you ahead of time. And we'll touch a little bit more on that. But yeah, that's the scenario we would get. Or the other email we get is a resident complained about a unit making a noise. Can you come out here and inspect the unit? And then we'll ask questions and they don't fully know what unit it is, so it's like a guessing game. So it's anyone's guess what the tech might encounter when they go to those fitness rooms.
Awesome. Emily, as your hand is waiting.
So another thing is you can kind of, obviously there's a sense of urgency. You know, the property manager knows that a machine is down. They're busy. We get that. and they just want someone to come out. Well, we don't ask questions to prolong the process. But we want to make that crystal clear. When we ask questions, it's because a lot of times it's something simple that will, you know, avoid a service call fee, or it's user error. So we try and get an idea, a feel for it, and then if you can't, that's fine. We'll come out. But a lot of times it's, oh, a resident said a bike's not turning on. Well, a lot of times the resident doesn't know that they have to pedal at a certain speed.
Yep.
For the console to come on. So it's simple things that we just try and field it so that we can avoid unnecessary charges.
Yeah, that's it. That's a really great addition. I had a customer, we just sold them an elliptical. It's a self-generating elliptical. I got an email that said, hey, can I purchase a power cord? Because they thought it was missing. I sent them an email back. I said, well, I'd love to sell you a power cord, but first, have you tried just pedaling the elliptical and seeing if it turns on? I got an email right back. Thank you so much. Have a great weekend. That was it. That was all it took. So, Dan, I'm coming to you.
All right.
As a technician, how long have you been a fitness equipment tech at this point?
I've been with RMS Fitness for a little shy of a decade at this point.
A little shy of a decade. Man.
I'm no Steven or Emily when it comes to longevity, but I've been here for a minute.
Okay. So, in your decade of fitness equipment, would you say that you have gone out on service calls more than or less than 10 times where the answer was that a machine was unplugged?
I think I've lost count, to be honest with you. There have been times where I've shown up and spoke with the property manager. They said they've had a couple treadmills that are down. They've had some people look at it, and they couldn't figure out what the problem was. And then I walk in and find that the power switch, which in their defense, the power switches on a lot of these units are sometimes very, very difficult to find. They're in a very hidden spot. They're not out in the open, but I'll flip them on, and then I feel bad having to go back to the property manager a minute later going, they're fixed. It just was turned off.
Yeah.
So that's happened quite a number of times.
Absolutely. That's a common occurrence, right? And at the point where a technician is dispatched and arrives out to a facility, and you know, they drive, they're in the car, they do all the things. At that point, Stephen, you know, what's the reality? Whether the machine's unplugged, needs a little adjustment. Once we're there, you know, what's the reality?
Once we're there, there was expenses that had to incur for us coming out there, having the tech to come out, taking day out of his schedule. So a service call fee, you know, normally is the standard. Now, if you know, there's so many variables involved that we can comp certain things depending on how, you know, how long the customer has been a customer for us. You know, there's some things that to consider, but normally right out of the gate, if no one's ever been out there before and then it's a simple little, you know, turn the power switch on, you know, it's unfortunate, but a lot of that can be remedied by maybe calling us or, you know, asking additional questions that maybe, you know, we could have addressed over the phone with them.
Yep. And then that means what, right? So if we're going to ask them more questions and expect more information from them, then realistically, they're going to have the answers to those questions too, which means that they might have to do, you know, to do what, Emily? So they're going to get a complaint from somebody at their property that's going to, you know, come to the front desk after leaving the gym, and they're going to say, hey, I was in the gym and the machine's broken. Well, what should you do as a property manager or front desk person at that point?
Well, obviously, I would try and get as much information from that person as possible, but then I myself or one of my coworkers is going to go into the fitness room and check it out myself.
Yep. You want to go down there and you just want to see what's going on, because, you know, to your eye, you may be able to just tell something's not quite right. You're in the property all the time. You may recognize that something isn't the way it's supposed to be, or you may realize you have no idea what the problem is, and now you need to, you know, provide some information to your service partner so that we can come out there and maybe try to figure that out for you. So now that you've done the right thing, Emily, and you've walked down to the gym like you're supposed to and checked it out yourself after you get that complaint, Dan, if you're a site team member at that point and you're trying to call in a service call, you're the technician, right? So you're the person that takes this information and goes out to the field and has to fix the machine. So why don't you let a property manager know in that case then what type of information is helpful to you as a tech, so that they can then, you know, you can have the best success in trying to identify that problem.
Well, I know, like, sometimes if the issue is a treadmill won't power on, and that's the only information. That's pretty straightforward. I can usually figure it out. But if it's something, if it's making a weird noise at precisely 7.2 miles an hour at incline 3%, 4.5 minutes in, and none of that's displayed, I might get on it and it works great. And I don't find an issue. As we put it in the term that we use, we can't duplicate the issue. Then there's not much I can do. So any specific information, speed, the user, was it a large user? Was it a very small user? Were they going fast? Were they mm-hmm. going slow? Whatever the case may be, any of that kind of information is great. Because the other issue that I'll run into is I might have minimal information on my paperwork, but then I go in and I can maybe talk with the property manager or whoever, and they can tell me more details. But sometimes they're not there. It might just be a concierge, and they can point me to the fitness room, and that's about all they can tell me. So then I'm walking in completely blind to the situation and trying to hopefully find what the issue is.
Yeah. So when you go in there without real specific information about the problem and you got to try to track it down yourself, you could even be struggling to figure out even what unit you need to look at. Because sometimes that is even a challenge, you know, depending. And, you know, bless them, we know they all have a lot going on. But some property managers or site teams, when they call these requests in, sometimes it doesn't even appear that they've accumulated the necessary information to even really be requesting help, right? So if you've got three treadmills in the room, well, Steven, what do we need to know? And maybe what's the easiest way for somebody to identify that unit to us so that we can know which machine we have to look at?
Serial number is a good first start. Also, if the property manager or the maintenance manager verified which unit it is, put a sign on it.
Yep.
If they don't want to put a sign on it, then have the maintenance manager, property manager lead the tech directly to that treadmill as well. So there's no confusion, because it can happen. Property managers get busy. They call out sick. Something happens. Same thing with maintenance managers or what have you. Normally, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen to that management company where someone calls out sick. The leasing office is full of people, you know, and so they're inundated with tours or whatever. And so there's nobody there to show them the equipment. And so we just kind of have to figure it out and hope it's the right treadmill.
Yeah.
And hopefully, you know, that scenario doesn't always happen, but it can happen.
Yeah. So, I mean, that comes back to how you call in the service call to begin with, right? Now, if we're given very limited information and then we can't get connected with a site team member while we're out there to clarify the missing links, well, you're probably not setting yourself up super well for success on that initial call at that point. Now, conversely, if you know that you're a site where maybe that's a common situation and you're going to have a case where maybe you're one person in the office and it could be a bad time to leave the room to go walk down to the gym, well, when you call that service call in, then we should maybe be looking for things like a picture of the unit, a picture of whatever component or part that you believe to be broken or damaged. A serial number is super helpful. If you can't find the serial number and you're not in a position to take a picture, maybe try to find a way to geographically identify it within the room, like the treadmill furthest to the left from the wall or the treadmill closest to the window. You know, some way that we can at least know when we go in there, you know, which components are the, or which unit is the one that may be in question. Steven, you mentioned a minute ago, you kind of beat me to it a little bit about the sign. One of the other things I was going to mention is about, before I go into that, so let me just circle back and put a pin, I guess, on maybe step one, which is how to call that information in. So Emily, if you're working on a service call request, you're trying to put it together for the team here, what's the most helpful information? Basic stuff again, just run through it real quick that maybe the property manager or team in a perfect world can provide us so that we can look at things a little bit up front and try to give them the best starting point.
So what type of machine? Brief rundown, what's wrong with it? And then if you can't get any information off of the machine, kind of logistically where it is in the room, so it's kind of easy identified.
Yep. And if you can get us a picture, that's great. It's going to give us an opportunity to look and see if we can visually tell, okay, well, this part broke, you know, from the picture. Well, then, Steven, do we have to go back out necessarily before acquiring the part for the repair? If you can help us with that picture, I mean, what can be the case if we're able to get enough information up front?
Yeah, that's a good question, and it's really a time saver too for the property managers. Ideally, if it's a broken part, broken cable, whatever is in question, just take a picture of it, email it to us, take a picture of the serial number of the unit. There's a pretty good chance that we can figure out what's going on with the machine and order parts ahead of time, provide them with a quote, so that the first time we come out, we can address the issue and fix it.
Yep. Because Dan, how do fitness equipment parts typically differ than parts for maybe other trades that property managers might interact with, like maybe like plumbers or electricians? Maybe what's unique to some of the parts that we have to get versus maybe what they might work with?
Well, I know a lot of with electricians, with plumbers, pipes are universal. Electrical wire, light switches, they're universal. With fitness equipment parts, every make, every model is unique, and I'd say 97% of the parts that we can order from a manufacturer are used in very specific machines in specific ways. There's very few universal parts that we can carry. Now, we do try to carry what we can, basic hardware, nuts, bolts, screws, things like that, even a few things like batteries. But most of the parts are absolutely specific, and if we get a part that's for a slightly different version of that model, we'll come out, try to install the part, and then it doesn't fit right. But cables are a notorious issue that we have a lot of times with strength units. They'll have several different revisions of the same model, and we'll come out with a cable, say a lat pull-down cable, and the cable that we have, it's the right ends, but it's 6 inches too short or 9 inches too long or whatever the case is, and then we can't use it. So we need to have as much detail as we can to get the right part.
Absolutely. Because the reality of most fitness service calls is that we're going to come out there and there's going to be one of two scenarios. It's going to be something that's broken that we can tinker with and fix in the field, right? Field fix or an adjustment or calibration. Or it's going to be something where we need to order some parts. If it's going to be a part scenario and we can identify that before that first visit, yeah, you've probably saved yourself some time. You've probably saved yourself some money. And we may even be able to just tell you straight away if the repair is even possible based on whether parts are available and things. So the more information you can give up front, the better. And I see little wipey's little finger waving at me.
We've even had, just made me think of it, we've had examples where someone from the office called in a machine. It wasn't necessarily the property manager, but someone else called in an issue with the machine. Couldn't give us a lot of details. We go out and we realize it's a machine that we've already said there are no parts available for this machine anymore. Like, we've already had that conversation with the property manager. So again, we do all these things to avoid unnecessary charges. And so, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point too, right? I mean, at a certain point, we're going to let you know the status of a machine. And if it's obsolete or parts no longer available through any of the, you know, reputable sources that you can find parts, then we're going to let you know that. And if you don't do anything with that information and then 6 months goes by and you're a new person at the property now and you don't know that, you may call in looking for a service call. Now, if you don't identify which unit you're talking about, we can't then tell you, hey, we already condemned that unit. There's no sense in having us come out and inspect it. So it's really important to provide as much information for a lot of different reasons, Emily. That's another really good point, too, because sometimes because a team member will leave a site, the new people coming behind don't always necessarily know what we've told the people prior to them. So that's a good point, too. Steven?
Yeah, and to kind of piggyback off of what Emily said, and it happens to us frequently, is, you know, we'll get that request, not much information. They just need us to come out ASAP. So we go out, and it turns out that the unit in question that is down or needs some parts, well, we've already diagnosed it during a preventative maintenance visit, and there's already parts on order for it. So unfortunately, you know, that's the scenario where, you know, what do we do in this scenario? Do we charge them a service call? Can we meet them in the middle? There's a lot of things at play here that's why it's important to have that communication, that back and forth, because a lot of things can be prevented by doing that.
Yeah, absolutely. Dan?
Daniel. Nice. So, and I was also thinking the nice thing about if you're working with RMS Fitness for a long term, you know, with contracts, you know, we've been contracted with you for a couple years. It's just kind of like with a doctor, if you have a new patient with some symptoms, he doesn't really have anything to go to look at to kind of figure out what might be the issue. You might have a few guesses, but if you've been going to the same doctor for 10 years and he has a full running file of your health history, he's in a much better position to assist you with anything coming up. Same thing with us, as Stephen mentioned, we can look back at our records and see which units have had which issues, what we've recommended, what work we've done. We have that whole paper trail that we can follow to figure out what might be the issue, as opposed to, you know, if we've never even been out there and we're going for the first time, we have to kind of start from scratch. So having that paper trail is really nice and will save you money in the long run.
Very good point. Appreciate that. So as I'm thinking about this now, Stephen, you started to mention it earlier. You mentioned about a sign, right? That's an option. So rather than being a light suggestion, I'm going to go ahead and say this is a firm recommendation. So, Emily, should a property put an out of order sign on a unit after it's been reported that there's an issue?
C.
Yes. Dan, what happens to a unit? Say I'm down in the gym and I'm riding the bike and I'm just doing my little pedals, and all of a sudden I start hearing clink, 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 clink in the pedal, right?
Yep.
And I stop my bike ride and I go down to the property manager and I go, yo, property manager, my bike was clink clinking while I was riding it. What's up? And they go, okay, we're going to let the fitness company know.
Yep.
Now they call a service call request in. We say, okay, we'll be there in 2 days based on the schedule. And that's all they do. And they leave that bike unaddressed. Well, what's happening with clink clink for the next 2 days while they're waiting for RMS to get there?
It's called clinkity clink
clink. Clink clinkity clink clink.
Well, now your clink clink has turned into a clinkity clank clank.
Oh, clankity dio.
It's all clanked up now, and nobody knows whether it was a small problem to begin with, but now it's done clink clanked all the way into a big problem, because now maybe it was a matter of the pedal crank being a little loose, but now that thing's gone around an additional 30 times and the threads are damaged, or it's hit the shroud on the outside and now the plastic is damaged on the outside of your beautiful bike.
Yep.
So, Dan...
It clunked at that point.
If you were giving advice to a property manager and you didn't want their bike to clunk, what would you tell them to do when they call in a service call request? What should be the first thing they do after they call the service call request in?
First thing is, as Emily mentioned, put a sign on it, out of order. Because if it's a minor issue that's causing the noise, people have a favorite piece of equipment. And it doesn't matter what it sounds like. It doesn't matter what it's doing. If it still technically functions, even very clunkety, people are still going to use it. And they're going to break it further. And then we have the repair costs every time somebody gets on it goes up that much more, because what could have just been a simple threading issue on a pedal, the crank arm could now get damaged, and then you have to replace that part. And if that gets damaged and bent, maybe it breaks the crankshaft in the middle. Now you've got a full technical operation going on as opposed to a simple 5-minute fix. So labor costs go up on top of the parts.
Yeah,
and people with their favorite units, don't mess with them. They're gonna use it, so definitely put that sign on.
So you heard it here first, folks, from Dan Clink Clank Rogers. Don't you dare let that unit keep getting used after you call a service call in, right? Because to your exact point, people are gonna go in there. I during the time that I was a technician when I first started with RMS Fitness, there was more than one occasion when I was coming into a room to work on a unit specifically that was called in for service. And when I got there, that unit was being used. And they were often in varying degrees of broken and should not have been being used. So that's really incumbent on the incumbent, is that the word? really important. I'm going to say that because I can't think of the word I'm trying to say, for the site team to come in there. If they're going to request service on a piece of equipment, if they do not know the state of the machine, they need to mark it out of order, A, to protect the equipment itself, but B, it could be a situation where they're protecting the health of the resident or the user because they don't know the nature of the issue. And it could have been a little problem that was about to become a big problem, and they wouldn't want to let somebody be using that machine when it made the step from little to big. Dano?
Well, I just a real quick... situation that just happened a couple weeks ago. I was called out to a property, first time being there, and they complained there was they have an elliptical that's making noise. Now, they only have one elliptical, but I walked in, and it sounded like if you've ever heard your washing machine get out of balance and start banging around in your basement, that's what I could hear coming across this clubhouse. So I followed the noise, went into the room, and there's somebody using this elliptical with pieces of shroud banging into each other, and it sounded like a washing machine out of balance. It was that loud, but they were using it full speed like there was nothing wrong with it. So people will use it regardless of how broken it is.
Yeah, you're right. And then it becomes more broken. And you know, you mentioned before that small repair could then become a 2 or 3 or 4 component repair, which can be a lot. It becomes more time consuming, you know, all the things. A little wipey.
This is why I love the fact that we do this podcast, because really gets me thinking, gets us all thinking about ideas or ideas or things that we can do that's for our contracted customers. You know, we have this information, we have these tips, but then it helps me think about ways that we can better help them. Yeah. So just as we were sitting here, I'm thinking we need to create for our contracted customers a different type of out-of-order sign, not one that says waiting for repairs, because then they think someone's already been out there, parts are on order, but instead something that a property manager can print out that just says, this machine is down. RMS is going to be coming out to diagnose it.
Needs
just something simple but cute. We'll stay tuned. We'll create it, and we'll send it out to all our property manager friends.
Yeah. Lil Signage over there. That's her other nickname. She's our go-to sign maker here at RMS Fitness.
That's what I do.
That's a good point, though, Emily. You know, not for nothing, we've all commented in various ways on or off the mic about that. Well, not Dan, because he's new.
Yeah.
We've all, the rest of us, you know, the regulars.
Don't mind me.
We've talked about that a lot, how we get a lot out of doing the podcast that then, you know, we didn't anticipate. Every conversation we have, I don't know if you guys know this or not, but we don't have a script for these. This is all kind of just organic, long-form conversation. We edit nothing in post, which is what I always, my promise, and will never change. But, you know, that's basically, we always find something in the conversation that we leave and we go talk about more off mic and put into to practice for the customers. So clients, partners, whatever you may want to call them. I don't like customer. That sounds so...
Colleagues,
yeah. Our partners, you know, the people that we work with. So, you know, and I really thought that was an important, you know, couple points to discuss. One other thing along those lines would be every new piece of equipment, typically, unless you're buying very, very, very low-end equipment, usually comes with some type of warranty coverage for a certain amount of time after it's purchased. If you don't send us the serial number for the unit that you're asking us to work on, what can't we check ahead of time, Emily?
We can check to see if something's under warranty. And then if something is legitimately broken, we'll ask for a picture. And that way we can submit all that information right away over to the manufacturer and be able to order parts. Yeah. I mean, not every time, but we really try and make that a practice.
Yeah because some, for instance, there are some manufacturers who, they, you know, RMS can't do the warranty service, right? Like some manufacturers are required to do their own warranty repairs. So if you're calling in a service call and you're not providing a ton of information, and then we can't get that from you, and we show up, and we might get there and we may find out it's not even something that we can really engage in with you. So that's really important information to provide up front, because if we do need to direct you back to the manufacturer, which we hate having to do, but it is the reality of some of the manufacturers out there, well, better to find that out on a phone call versus waiting for 3 or 4 weeks, days for us to get there, and then, you know, taking a look at things and realizing right away that we can't can't do anything anyway. So it could have been an easy way to avoid some heartache there, and just you know, another way that you can, you know, maximize these service calls. Because the reality is, we see most of our customers 4 times a year according to the contract, but most of them are calling us. Would you say most, Emily, call us at least 1 time a year outside of the contract visits?
Definitely.
Yep. Because things come up, things break. They get reports about issues and things in the gym. And when that comes up, we want to help them to, you know, we want to help our listeners to basically understand how it is that they can get the most benefit out of that initial visit, not waste time and not waste money. Because again, we always come back to the same general, like, core principles in these discussions. If you have a piece of equipment in your gym and it's broken, and then somebody comes in to take a look at your property to maybe consider renting one of your available units, Dan, what kind of message does a broken piece of equipment send versus a working piece of equipment?
Well, something I've talked to some of the property managers about is, I mean, the prices of everything's going up, including the price of rent. And a lot of people that I know personally, when they're looking at different places to live, even if they're not going to use the amenity, they check out a lot of the amenities to see what kind of love and care that the property is putting into it. And if they see that their amenities, whether it be the fitness room or whatever, is in poor shape, half the units are broken, the other half look like they're from the Great Depression, and then, you know, they sit there and go, well, I'm going to be spending this much money on rent. Where's that money actually going? You know, this is almost
there really are some Great Depression gyms out there, aren't there? Yeah. We see them too sometimes.
Yeah, I've seen a whole. I've walked into gyms and I'm sitting there and I'm like, how is this still functional?
Yeah,
and people notice that. You know, you don't have to be an expert to look at a piece of equipment and kind of get a rough idea of what the age is just based on the aesthetics and style. Just like you can look at a car and you can tell that car's from the 80s without knowing anything about cars because the style is reminiscent of the 80s or the 90s.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's one of those, you want to bring in that, you want to, you know, get that bottom line, you know, bring that number up. You know, you have to show people that your property is a good investment, even if that investment is just them paying rent,
yep.
that money's going towards something other than just a place to fall asleep at night.
Yep. And because the reality is, if you're going to sign a lease or you're going to renew a lease, you're looking at that stuff. And like you said, maybe if you don't even necessarily use these amenities, but if you're coming in and you're touring, what you see with your eyes tells you a lot about what the property team is doing on a day-to-day basis to basically keep your potential home nice, right? So just thinking about that, if I'm going to renew a unit, well, if I see that my property management team is calling issues in actively, effectively, getting things repaired quickly, and there's minimum downtime because that's all being carried out in a good way, well, then I'm more likely to feel like, okay, this is where I want to stay for another year, and I'm gonna renew that lease. Yeah. Versus if I feel like this thing's been broken for 6 months, and you know somebody came out and looked at it once, and then they left, and it was never fixed, you know, and that could all just be a result of poor communication, poor execution on some really simple things. And I think that it's easy to avoid, and most property managers are in a position where they could provide exactly the information that's needed for a really successful service call. So to take it back from the top, starting from the beginning, if a resident comes in and reports that your unit is making an issue or there's a problem with a machine and you want to call that service request in, Stephen, what type of information is important and what are we looking for?
Serial number, picture of the machine, picture of what's wrong. You know, if something's broken, let's take a picture of that. Where it is in the location of the fitness center, if you're having trouble finding a serial number, put an out of order sign on it, and then get a pretty good description of the issue. If it's like noise related, you know, there's a lot of, if there's any question, always shoot us an email. We can always help out.
Absolutely. Good point. And then after you call that service call in, hopefully you didn't just say this. I did momentarily blank out on what you were saying, but I don't think you said it. Hey, look, it happens, Dan. I'm over here. I got a lot of things. I got the switchboard here. I got my pen. I
think you need another cup of coffee.
I do need another. That's what I need. Another cup of this Starbucks coffee right here. that's what I need for sure. But no, so after you call that service call request in, proactive managers that want to avoid things getting worse. Emily, they're going to go down to the gym right after that and do what?
They're going to check it out themselves.
Yep. And then they're going to put a...
out of order sign.
Out of order sign. Or in the very near future, once little signage gets to work, they're going to have a out for diagnosis sign. Yep. That way people can really know more accurately which phase they're in there. And then after all that's said and done, Dan, what are you going to do after you get that service call request?
After I get that service call request, I'm going to...
take your tool bag.
I'm trying to, like,
you're gonna take your,
like,
tool
I'm
bag.
Expecting a trick question here. I'm
I think,
like,
he
wait.
Needs coffee.
It's straightforward, yeah, Dan. You're gonna take the well reported information from the property manager. You're gonna take your tools. You're gonna go in there and you're going to thoroughly what?
Fix it.
I'm gonna fix it. No, you guys have to understand. My vacation starts in about 30 minutes, so I'm kind of no.
Well, based on this performance, it's more than a vacation, Dan.
We're extending your job.
Yeah.
We're extending your vacation.
Wow.
No.
Nothing but love here, people.
No.
But no, we go in. I try to check in with the property manager or, you know, somebody who can walk me to the unit, and we can have a discussion about it briefly, find out what's going on, get any additional details that may not have been communicated to Stephen or Emily or someone to our office who assigned the job, and then, you know, get started on the repairs. Yep. Hopefully we can repair it that day. If not, you know, we'll do what we can, but we keep you guys informed as to what it needs and keep you in the loop with estimates and everything else to try and fix it as fast as possible.
Yep. And if for some reason your site team is not available to walk with Dan through the gym and show him the issue, because you've listened to this episode, yep, and you are proactively applying the lessons learned here at, yep, Everyone Needs a Spotter, you're going to have called in such a good service call request that Dan's not even going to need to talk to you. He's going to, yep, be able to look at the email, know exactly what needs to happen, go in there and get to work for you and get that job done in, yep, a way that maximizes what you were hoping to get done there, which is get your equipment up and running, keep your residents happy, keep your leases signed, and your residents healthy. So that's really, I think, about all we can talk about on that subject. I mean, we can talk about service forever. We've done it for 25 years now here, yeah, or more. We have lots of empirical data about service, but I think that about kind of encompasses what we look to talk about here today. So I think that's really good. Dan, as is the ritual here that you don't know about, we always end the podcast by talking about what we're up to this weekend, man. So you mentioned staycation, but tell us, what are you up to, Dan the Man Rogers?
Well, as he mentioned, staycation, just taking a week, kicking back and relaxing. No projects around the house, no nothing. Just something I don't think we do enough is take the time for ourselves to recharge. And I have been on many awesome, amazing, wonderful vacations, but at the end of the vacation, I felt like I needed another vacation. You know, whether you're going to theme parks or the beach or Disney World or whatever the case is. So
that's how I feel after every podcast with Emily.
Every podcast after with Emily, a little wipey. But no, that's pretty much it. I'm just gonna kick back, enjoy a drink, and enjoy this beautiful weather, at least that we have our way, and, you know, and then hopefully come back in a week refreshed and ready to kick some butt out there in the field.
All right, Dan, and tell everybody, what's your favorite repair to perform?
My favorite repair to perform?
Seat pads.
They take 5 minutes. They're easy. I love them.
Good answer. No. I don't know why I just thought of that off the top of my head there.
No.
Lil Wipey, what's up with you this weekend? Where are you off to? What you up to? What kind of trouble are you getting into?
I'm trying to relax a little bit. It's been kind of a hectic. April was very hectic, and it's still kind of hectic. Not going to go into too many personal things, but I'm hoping that tomorrow I'll finally get out into my yard and do some yard work and plant some vegetables and things like that I've been meaning to do. And it seems like the weather's finally holding up, mm-hmm, to be, mm-hmm, consistently,
yes,
on the warmer side, so it's safe to do that kind of thing now.
Yeah, we definitely were just going through that period of time here in Maryland where it's like you wake up and it's winter in the morning, it's spring around 10 a.m., it's August around noon, and then it gets to be fall and winter again, mm-hmm, in the evening. And it's like, yeah, you never really quite know,
yeah,
what to plan, what to get into. You're never wearing the right clothes.
Yeah.
It rains weirdly when it's not supposed to and stuff. So, yeah, I think we're kind of entering into that steady good weather time. So I hope that you're...
I think so.
Yeah. I hope that your plans for the... for the yard.
Thank you.
Stay true this weekend, Emily.
Me too. Thank you.
Stephen D., what it be, man? How are you? What are you and the rest of the Been There and Done It Alls up to this weekend?
I think we're doing kind of similar stuff with Emily, doing some yard work. Mm-hmm. Now that, it's not icicles in the morning and...
You guys made fun of me for saying icicles last week. I said icicles on the podcast last week, and I got excoriated by Fearless Leader.
Well, aren't you the one that's always cold, even if it's like anything below 90 degrees?
Now, Dan, we're not letting secrets out here, okay? The fans don't know that I'm chronically cold. They don't know that my daughter says I have cold hands of doom. That's what I
cold hands
that's
what of I, doom.
No, so yeah, that, you know, similar plans for me this weekend. Mm-hmm. I do want to wash my car. It is in need of it. I touched my window the other day and my hand changed colors like three shades. So it's definitely time for a bath. It's the pollen crazy time of year. And I'm just going to try to get outside, get some vitamin D, breathe some fresh air this weekend, because I feel like I have been like cooped up, not doing the types of things that make me feel the best. And I am ready to get fall and winter in the rearview mirror and on with spring and feeling good.
But the question is, are you going to wash your car or are you going to wash your car? There's two different
ways. Well, there is.
Though I have been born and raised in Baltimore, I promise you that I don't talk like I've been born and raised in Baltimore. I don't think I do anyway. So I'm going to go ahead and say I'm not going to wash my car this week. And I'm going to wash my car and use lots of water when I do it.
Water.
Water.
No, but otherwise, I think that that is just about it. You know, as I mentioned, we had a really, really nice, productive week here at Everyone Needs a Spotter. The podcast did really, really well this week across many different platforms and
keep
channels.
Keep it going. Yeah.
And we would just simply ask that if you are someone that has already been listening, keep it up. We appreciate you. We love you. We appreciate your support. Keep it up. If you are somebody that's been considering it, it's weird that I'm talking to you because you're not going to hear it. But if somehow the message gets to you, we hope that you give it a listen. But really what we ask is that if you've enjoyed the episode and you found this podcast to be entertaining, informative, and or educational, that you would simply share this with somebody in your network, whether it's a coworker, friend, or family member who may benefit or enjoy the content. Give us a 5-star review and nothing less, or you'll hurt our feelings. And please do remember to email us at podcast@rmsfitness.com if there's ever anything that you would like to hear us discuss. Other than that, I'm going to stop talking. Dano, parting words to the crowd.
Have a great weekend and enjoy this weather.
Lil Wipey.
Yeah.
Wow, that's not on the spot.
Everyone have a great weekend.
Steven.
Enjoy the sun, everyone.
Enjoy the sun. I'm so excited. Wear
sunblock.
Everybody have fun tonight.
It is supposed to rain this weekend.
Wang Chung tonight.
It is supposed to be like a drowner this weekend. So.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh. Bro, what?
I know.
You're going to rain on the podcast parade, right? Yeah. Everyone, this has been Everyone Needs a Spotter. Enjoy the rainy weekend.